Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill, 310 North Main in Maryville. We are broadcasting live on KXCV KRNW, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network. I'm Rodney Harris, General Manager, joined by News and Sports Director of KXCV and the voice of the Bearcats for the last 28 years. Please make him feel welcome, John Coffey. We've got a great show tonight. Lots of news again out of the Northwest Athletic Department that we're going to share with you. It was announced earlier this week that Lori Hopkins will be the interim athletic director for the Northwest Missouri State University while we're undergoing a nationwide search for the next Northwest AD. More good news this week with the announcement of four players inking their national letters of intent to play soccer at Northwest. Includes three high school soccer players and one junior college player. It's an outstanding class, and we hope to visit in the next couple, two or three weeks with Coach Tracy Hoza of the Bearcat soccer team in more detail about that recruiting class. And then the sports schedule at Northwest is absolutely jam-packed. This weekend, the Northwest women's softball team will participate in the 7th State Classic in Bentonville, Arkansas. This weekend, they'll play six softball games this weekend. The men's and women's basketball teams are back in action Saturday at Bearcat Arena with games against Washburn. We invite you to catch all the action there. It is Northwest Alumni Day, so all the alumni are encouraged to attend. They've got special activities. They've got giveaways, all kinds of fun things. And you can also learn about the Northwest alumni, 19 alumni chapters that you can learn more about as well. And if you'd like to get involved in the alumni and friends chapter near year, we would encourage you to do so as well. Bearcat baseball is on the road to Tahlequah, Oklahoma this weekend for three games. They get underway with their first game on Saturday at 1 and then again at 3 in a doubleheader. And then they play on Sunday at noon from Tahlequah. Track and field will be in Lincoln, Nebraska tomorrow, participating in the Husker tune-up. Men's tennis gets underway tomorrow also in Red Oak, Iowa. The women will be in St. Joe for matches against Northeastern State on Saturday, beginning at 11 a.m. The men are ranked number one in the central region. The women's tennis team is ranked number two. So, as always, Coach Rosewell has got an outstanding a couple of teams in the men's and women's tennis. Coaches Mark Kellogg and Ben McCollum from the men's and women's basketball teams will be on the program tonight. And also joining us tonight is Coach Mark Rosewell of the Northwest men and women's tennis programs. In our student athlete segment tonight, we feature a couple of tennis players. We've got Alexis Bartek and Stephanie Mannix from the women's tennis team will join us tonight on the Bearcat Coaches Show as well. We want to remind you, please, if you would, give a nice round of applause to your servers and the entire crew of Carson's. They do a really, really nice job to serve you and also to make us feel right at home here at the Bearcat Coaches Show each Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Also, we'd like to thank Jim and Amy at the student body for the giveaways that we'll be giving away tonight. Some of you will have little stickers on your table or little pieces of paper that say something to the effect that you are a winner. And if you are, we'd invite you to come over to the table right next to the broadcast location and pick up your free giveaway, courtesy of the student body here in Maryville. When we come back, we'll visit with Coach Mark Rosewell of the Bearcat men's and women's tennis team. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, right here on the flagship of the Bearcat Radio Network, KXCV and KRNW.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Vaquero and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information available at 816-806-7777.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you by Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work and driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, family-owned since 1951, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph, 800-292-6546.
Bearcat Radio Network broadcasts are supported by the Compass Dental Group, Dr. Bruce Twaddle, and Dr. Brian Viertaler at 231 East Summit Drive in Maryville. More information available at CompassDentalGroup.com.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you in part by the Northwest Alumni Association. Contributions to the Alumni Association support the Northwest Foundation and its educational opportunities for students. For more information, call 562-1248.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And now joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell. And Mark, good to have you with us again this evening.
Thank you, John.
And Mark, this is really getting into a busy time of year for your squads, even though it's still a little bit on the cold side. A lot of the spring sports are getting underway, and you've got the luxury of playing some indoor matches. I know this weekend you've got a couple indoor matches coming for your men's and women's teams, but before we talk a little bit more about that, let's just kind of talk about your team from the last fall. The last time we talked with you, it was kind of an individual season with the ITA, and you had a lot of success with your squads during that time, and I know that that's something you like to build on, is what takes place in the fall. And just, again, let's go back to the fall and some of the success your players had getting ready for this year.
Okay, we'll start with the men, I guess, since they're playing first, going up to Red Oak tomorrow to play Alabama Huntsville. A lot of people are asking, what's Alabama Huntsville doing in, you know, around Maryville, Missouri? But they're making kind of a swing through. They're playing Nebraska Kearney and some other teams and so forth. We always try to play these teams out of region because it's good for the rankings. And of course, we're sitting at that number one ranking right now, so we're really excited about that. But that's kind of where we came from the fall. And had some certainly some good individuals, Sergio and Luis, that they won the doubles championship, then placed sixth in the country in doubles, and then Sergio was the runner-up in singles, so very well. And some of the other players did outstanding, too. And then on the women, of course, we'll go down to St. Joe indoors, and we'll play Northeastern Oklahoma Tahlequah, which is a new team in our conference this year. And both these matches are really, really tough matches right off the bat, but it's the only time really we can play them. We haven't beat Northeastern Oklahoma probably in 20 years, but, you know, they're in their conference. We had an extremely close match with them last year. We got beat 5-4, so, you know, it's going to be a good match.
I know when you schedule your non-conference matches, you're not afraid to schedule some of the top teams, and it really, I think, pays off as you get into the MIAA portion of the season.
Exactly, John, and we never back off anybody. And I remember one year, I always like to say, we played Notre Dame one year. Yeah, that's right. We got beat 9-0, but we played Notre Dame, you know. But I'm a firm believer, and you've got to play good competition because, in the end, when you're playing in the conference championship, you're going to be playing ranked 20, 25 teams, and really that's how you get better. You know, you could play a lot of weak teams, but your players aren't going to get any better, and, you know, it's it makes you rise to the occasion. There's no doubt about that.
And it seems like one thing that helps you as far as scheduling some of your non-conference matches, you've got some alumni that's come through the Northwest program as players, have gone on, gone on to become coaches at some very notable schools, to where you've got a little bit of a relationship with some of these schools.
That's true, John. I think we got close to maybe 10 of them coaching colleges, and many of them in the Midwest. We've got former Bearcats at Rockhurst, Nebraska Kearney, UMKC, St. Louis U, DePaul University, University of Las Vegas. I can go on that, okay? And we're quite proud of that.
And I think that just talks a little bit about the quality of some of the players that you bring in.
Well, yeah, we've been extremely fortunate. And, you know, I haven't won a point. We've had some great, great athletes come through here, no doubt about it.
And as far as the athletes, let's talk about something else I know you're very proud of. Not only are they very good on the courts, but right now, academically, as good as anyone, and top of the schools in at Northwest as far as the GPA right now.
Yeah, I think Allison was telling me we had a 3.82 on the ladies' team. That's a cume. Half the team was 4 points. The other ones was like 3.5 Dean's list or better. Yeah, again, I'd like to take credit for that, but I can't. They do all the work and so forth. We try to recruit good students because, you know, I think there's a lot of correlation. A person that's a good student has got a good chance to be a good athlete because they know how to time management and they get better. And I've always thought that. And I'd rather take a person with a little less talent and a better student because I know in 4 years they're going to get better. And that formula usually works for us.
And the recruiting that you do, not only locally and regionally, but you do a good job with the international students bringing in. And they not only contribute on the court, but I think they contribute to the culture at Northwest.
Really does, John, and that's another thing that I'm quite proud of. You know, Coach Bird started all this in the 70s and really got it going, and they had some outstanding teams, and some of the people have been around. You know, they hosted a national tournament here in Maryville, Missouri. A lot of people don't know that in 1976. That was a big deal. You know, that never happens. And ITA, MIAA championships, we host those things all the time, you know. So we've got a lot of tradition and a lot of history in tennis here at Northwest.
And I think the only team that perhaps he didn't have a lot of national students on was the team I was on. I think we were all within about a 70-mile radius of Maryville, and I think a record proof that at that time, too.
Well, you got Graceland that year, I remember.
Oh,
that. Yeah.
And let's, again, as you look at the roster that's made up for this year, let's just talk about the players you've got coming in this year first of all, the men and then going to the women and some of the players that will be contributing a lot to your squad.
Okay, I'll just go right down the ladder. On the men, we'll start off with Sergio. Of course, he came in as a freshman, and he's number one. He got to the finals of the singles tournament, and then he won the double. So outstanding work for a freshman. But then we've got some upperclassmen. Rafael plays two. He's a senior from Laredo Junior College, and he beat Southwest Baptist number one guy in the fall. So that's pretty good, you know. And then we've got Luis, who was the other half of that doubles team, and then Guy is our four. He beat Washburn's number one player. You know, they were knocking off all the number one, so that's obviously why we got the number one ranking or whatever. And then 5, 6, and 7 were pretty close. We've got a couple new freshmen and a couple South African kids, Jason and Dylan, and then we got a young man from Costa Rica, too. And then rounding out the squad is Nick Rumutis from Maryville.
And then on the women's side?
On the women's side, again, you know, I'm really, they're coming right along. They've got that sitting up, they've got a number two ranking. So, you know, one's got one ranking, the other one, and I'm talking about the region. I'm not talking about the conference. That's saying something. They got a chance to have a national ranking by the end of the season or whatever. But Camilla is back as our number one player. She got to the finals with Alexis, who's here tonight, had an outstanding tournament in doubles, and in singles she was semifinals. I think Alexis got to the quarterfinals in singles. Good, solid player from Nebraska. And then our three player, we've actually got a couple young ladies from Spain, Natalia and Gisela, and they've stepped right into the lineup, and really don't know that much about them. We'll know more after we see some more play from them. And then Stephanie, who's here, is a sophomore from Nebraska also, that we're looking for a really big year. She's really been playing well in at practice so far. And then Emily Hoffman, who's a senior, and she's actually student teaching. We talk about good time management and playing tennis for us this spring, and that's a wonderful thing because, you know, it's very difficult for her to do. And then Logan from St. Joe is also on the round out to number seven.
And when you talk about a makeup of a team, obviously you want to have some very top players at the very top of the one and twos, but I think one of the things you've been able to do, bring in some very quality people to play that 4, 5, and 6 spot, because those spots add up as well.
Well, I'm not sure coaches always understand, in all sports, you've got to have depth. Because you're going to have injuries, you know, things are going to happen, and you got to have somebody that's going to be able to come in there and play. And it's a long season, you know. We play a lot of matches, you know, from now till middle of May we'll be going. you know, people are going to turn ankles and then they're going to have arm aches and they're not going to be able to play. So if you got good depth, you got a really good chance. And by the same token, you know, you have injuries, it could hurt you.
Now, when you look at the makeup of your schedule this year, a little bit different from two aspects that you've got added schools coming into the NCAA, as well as a little bit of change in the regional makeup of where you go region-wise.
It really is. Now, you know, Northeastern Oklahoma and Central Oklahoma, we've played them for years. We play them every year, but they're very strong on the women's side. And then you've got, you know, Lindenwood and Nebraska Kearney, we also play, but both more men's and women's programs. So like every other sport in the MIAA, it's just gotten tougher, you know.
And then you go with a little bit of a different change region-wise this year.
Yeah, and that may work in our favor because they, you know, we were the northernmost team in Maryville, Missouri, and we were playing schools like in Abilene, Texas, and St. Ed's, and all these teams that had the much better weather, and it really makes a difference early in the year for your spring sports, not just tennis, but baseball and softball and some of the other things. But now they've got us in a region more with teams that are you know, more similar to us. Weather-wise, scholarship-wise, you know, all those teams down there are fully funded. A lot of people don't know that here at here in the MIAA and Northwest, we're not fully funded in tennis, you know, and that means that the other team's got more scholarships if you want me to spell it out to you. You know, and that's tough sometimes, but you just got to take what you got and do the best you can.
And as I mentioned, this weekend you got underway with a couple matches indoors. You've been using a facility up in Red Oak, Iowa here the last couple or 3 years since that facility opened up to host a few matches, and that's really turned into a nice thing for you.
Oh, John, if you get a chance, go up there and play. I mean, it's really nice. They did it right, and that's a public recreation facility where anybody can use it. You know, their high school uses it. It's a great tennis town there, and it makes you just dream a little bit. You know, we hope maybe someday we can get it in indoor facility similar to this, as we're talking more about this now and so forth.
And then of course that's the men's match with Alabama Huntsville. What are you expecting out of that match?
They're going to be tough. You know, all those teams in the South, they're loaded, and they actually have a former player that was a Bearcat his freshman year, a young man from Brazil, Rafael. He wanted to go into architecture, I believe, and we didn't have it here at Northwest, so he transferred there, a very good student and so forth. And he's playing number five for them, so I can tell you right now they're going to have a good team.
Then on the women's side, as you mentioned, you open up with Northeastern State Saturday down at the Record Club in St. Joseph.
Yeah, we've played a lot in St. Joe over the years, and you know, it's 40 miles down the road, but it's still a good place to play down there. And Missouri Western's coach Ron Selkirk down there, he really is good about getting us in there and letting us use his facility when we need matches and such.
As far as getting ready for the season, let's just talk a little bit about the challenges with you touched about being in the North and trying to get workouts in. And what are some of the challenges you have with getting your team ready for the season?
Well, you know, I mean, It's tough just practicing sometimes. I mean, it's crowded in the gym, and, you know, there's only, I mean, we've been outside all week. I mean, it was kind of cold out there today. I mean, the wind was blowing. Cold for the head coach, too, on my dad, you know. But, you know, we just try to do the best we can. Now, we go indoors at the two courts there in the gym, and the other sports are very gracious. Many times we practice when the basketball teams are in there, and they're, you know, we all get along very well. They're very, very, very kind to us, and we try to respect them and so forth. But you know, we really need a new facility of some kind, and for student use, and just not just the athletics, but for, you know, intramurals and recreation and the community and everything else, you know. But, you know, we'll do the best we can, and then sooner or later, March and April are going to come, and we're going to be able to get outside, and we'll catch up with these teams in the South where we can practice all the time. Right now, we're at a little disadvantage. You know, we could get beat this weekend because we can't practice like they do, but we'll see.
You know? All right, and before I let you go, one final question here. How many Coach of the Year honors is it in MIAA for you now?
Many. Yeah.
More than you have fingers to count on, right?
25. 23.
All right. Again, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Mids and Women's Tennis Team, Mark Roosevelt. Big round of applause for Mark here.
Thank you, John.
And again, Mark's teams will get underway this weekend with a couple matches, and we'll continue to talk Northwest tennis coming up when we take a break here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa, 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving Northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And we're pleased to join us now. We want to welcome Stephanie Mannix of Lincoln, Nebraska, and also Alexis Bartek, also of Lincoln, Nebraska. Let's give them a nice round of applause. Both girls are Bearcat tennis players, and pleased to have you both with us. First of all, kind of let the crowd and the radio audience know a little bit about yourself and how you got to Northwest. Start with you, Alexis.
Okay. My name is Alexis Bartek, and I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. I am a junior, and I came to Northwest 3 years ago looking to go to a school where I could major in elementary education. I heard about what a great education program Northwest has, and I also was looking to play tennis in college, and Northwest is just a great opportunity to do both of those things here.
How about you, Stephanie?
Well, I'm also from Lincoln, Nebraska, and we actually played against each other in high school, and I heard that she had went to go to Northwest, and she was always like, Steph, you should go to Northwest, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I was really starting to look into my major, which is dietetics, and it's very specialized, but they offer it here at Northwest. And I also wanted to play tennis. So she talked to Coach Rosie about me, and it just worked out. So it was really the only school that offered both tennis and my major.
Talk a little bit about how you got started in tennis. We've heard from both of you that you played high school tennis. When did it get started for you, Alexis?
I got started playing tennis when I was 3 years old. My mom was a tennis professional, and she got me started in tennis, and she played at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. And so she was really the one to get me going, and I've just been playing ever since I was 3 years old. So.
And Stephanie, you?
For me, I actually played racquetball, and I started that when I was 9, and I was actually nationally ranked when I was 10, but then I kind of moved to tennis when I was 13, because there's a lot more of a future to tennis, and there's a lot more opportunities as far as college goes. So once I picked up the racket for tennis, I just loved it, and I switched to that.
I think one of the big things that we ought to talk about both these young ladies is the fact that they were both honored last night at the Bearcat basketball game. They have perfect 4.0 GPAs. Let's give them a nice round of applause. You know, at Northwest, student athlete really means something, and these two girls really exemplify what a student athlete is all about, particularly here at Northwest. Congratulations on your honor, and as John mentioned earlier when he was talking to Coach Rosie, the tennis team here has got the highest GPA of any sports team at Northwest. That's got to make you both feel good.
Yeah, I'm very... very proud of our girls' team.
Now, talk a little bit about, you know, your Northwest accomplishments, what you've done. Stephanie, first with you. Last year, you went 17-11 in singles, 6-1 in conference play. Talk a little bit about your season last year.
Last year, we started the season off playing kind of different. I mean, they were tougher schools, so I kind of started out with a losing record. But then once I got my position and picked up the game, it was my freshman year, so I was getting the hang of it. And then when we started conference matches, I really kind of focused and honed in on my skills and whatnot. And it was, and it turned out for a great year for me. I had a tough match against Southwest Baptist, and it actually was delayed because of rain and canceled, and we finished it out the day before conference. And that win helped me to get all conference in number five singles.
And for you, Alexis, a great year last year, 22-9 in singles, 6-1 in conference play, and you're quite a doubles player as well. Talk a little bit about, you know, your year last year.
Yeah, last year was a lot of fun. Singles went really well with my record and all, and doubles was so much fun too. I got to play one doubles with my partner Camila, and that was just a lot of fun. We found success at one doubles, and then I started off playing two singles and then switched to three singles in the year, and yeah, it was just a pretty successful year, and it was a lot of fun, hoping to continue that this year too. So
talk a little bit about, you know, the team, how it shapes up, the women's team. We've already heard that you're ranked number two in the entire region, also, you know, possibly could be a national ranking down the line if everything falls right. But talk a little bit about your impressions of what you expect out of the team for the year.
Yeah, I have really high hopes for our team this year, and I'm really looking forward to see what we can do. Our region has changed a little bit, and our region should be a little bit easier than it has been in the past, but our conference got a little bit tougher with some Oklahoma teams coming in. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out and where we'll fall. But I think we will have a good chance of getting to regionals hopefully this year and possibly nationals.
I agree with that, and we have some solid doubles teams with Allie and Camila. They're really good doubles teams, and we have a couple new girls coming in, and they're just going to bring only good things, I think.
How about goals? Do each of you set individual goals of what you would like to do?
Yeah, we actually, our assistant coach, Trevor, has us write down our goals for the season, and we just wrote down two-week goals a couple weeks ago for the beginning of the season, and both individual and for the team. And as far as the team goals, we all want to win conference. Last year we got second, and we were so close. And so this year we want to get conference. And same goes for my individual goal, is I want to be all conference for my title.
How about you, Alexis? Individual goals, what are you striving for this year?
Yeah, my individual goals, I want to improve on my doubles game. Playing number one doubles will be kind of tough, and we're going to have a lot of hard matches. So I just have some things I want to improve serving-wise and my net game. And then individual goals, hopefully do well again with my singles record and all. I'm hoping to just keep that going. And then, of course, team-wise, we want to win conference always. That's our goal.
I assume the first goal is always the MIAA championship, but if you achieve that, do you have other goals kind of back there in the back of your mind that you'd like to accomplish?
Well, then we would go to regionals, right?
Yes, then we would go to regionals, and regionals this year, they're taking two teams to nationals. I believe it's normally just one, but this year they're taking two out of the four, so we would probably have a good chance to get to nationals if we were to make it to regionals.
Now, I know, Stephanie, you're a sophomore, correct?
Yes.
And Alexis, you're a junior.
Correct.
But talk a little bit about your majors. Alexis, you said education was your major. Talk about maybe your plans. Do you know what you want to do upon graduation in a year or so?
Yeah, so my major is elementary education with a math minor, and I hope to go back to Lincoln, Nebraska, and hopefully find a teaching job there, either in elementary education or math, possibly through middle school. So those are my hopeful plans for the future.
How about you, Stephanie?
Well, as I said earlier, my major is dietetics in foods and nutrition, and I'm just always been passionate about health and nutrition. You can ask Coach, anyone on the team. I always, you know, talk about healthy eating on the road and stuff like that. I always pack my healthy snacks and everything. But my goals upon graduation are we have to do an internship for my major. So after I complete that, one of my goals is to become a nutritionist for a sports team because I find it really interesting, sports nutrition and that aspect to how you can improve your performance and stuff like that. So my ultimate goal was to be a dietitian for a professional sports team or possibly a collegiate sports program. So those are my goals.
If there was one thing that would surprise us to know about Alexis and Stephanie, what would it be? Alexis, you're first.
I am the main character in a book about tennis that my mother wrote.
That is neat. What's the name of the book?
It's called I Want to Play Tennis.
Can you get it at a bookstore near you?
Well, it was published a long time ago, so I don't know that it's still out, but it's in some libraries. My mom wrote it in Nebraska, so it's in a lot of Nebraska libraries and stuff.
Stephanie, you? What was surprising?
Well, I just want to say I actually have bought that book. My mom and I were in just a little tennis shop racket corner in Omaha, and my mom saw this book by Ann Bartek, and our parents are friends. So my mom's like, Steph, look at this book. Allie's on the front of it. And so we bought the book, and I showed Allie and everything. But as far as I go, I mean, I don't know. I'm just a really driven person, and I'll do anything. I'll work hard. I just want to be the best at anything that I do in life, whether it be academics or tennis or my major. I just strive to be the best.
Folks, they're not only great tennis players, but they're also great student athletes. Straight 4.0 GPA. Let's give it up. Girls, thanks for joining us. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Alexis Bartek and also Stephanie Mannix of the Bearcat tennis team. We'll be back with more. We'll have coaches McCollum and also Coach Kellogg from the Bearcat men's and women's basketball team when we return to the Bearcat Coaches Show live from Carson Sports Grill in Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by National Investors and Northwest Alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National Investors with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodsense in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodsense at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill, and joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, as always, good to have you with us here on the show.
Good to be here, John.
And let's just talk about this past week, kind of a tough week for the team. But first of all, let's maybe go back to last night's game with Fort Hays State. 4-point loss, 64-60. Second time in 7 days you faced a Fort Hays State team. And really kind of a rough start to the game, but you got things going there in the second half and just about able to pull off with a victory there in the second half.
Yeah, I think the second half we actually played like the basketball team I know. We competed defensively, played with a lot of energy, I thought, played with a lot of emotion in the second half. In the first half, we came out pretty dead, and a lot of with this team, I think they just expect the success, expect to win. and don't want to work for it. And you know, hopefully we're starting to correct some of those things and understanding that we need to give our best effort every game, every night in the MIAA to be able to come out of there with wins.
They fell behind by 16 in the first half, came back, and finally took a lead about a little bit over 2 minutes left in the game. But unfortunately, Fort Hays State came down and drilled a three right after that with that Nicholson kid, who was really just kind of a pain in the side of Northwest the last two games. And really has been that way to the entire MIAA schedule. But so just unfortunate that the Fort Hays was able to come back down and take the lead after that.
Yeah, you know, I think we took a, what did we take, a one-point lead there? Took a one-point lead, and they actually set a high ball screen, and we're supposed to trap the high ball screen, and we didn't do it. We went underneath the screen. We went underneath the screen. He took the three, which, you know, he's not. I know his percentage says that he's a decent outside shooter, but that's really not a strength of his game. And, you know, probably got the shot that we wanted him to take, but we didn't execute defensively, and that's why he took that shot. So, you know, if we execute defensively, it probably drives into a crowd. Hopefully we get a block shot and get the rebound, and then, you know, we're on our way on the offensive end. So we just didn't execute great down the stretch in the second half. I thought we played with energy, though, but didn't execute.
Yeah, he had just a couple opportunities where a turnover or missed shot really hurt you at that point.
A turnover, missed shot, you know, we come out of huddles and we don't know exactly what play we're running. You know, I think we fouled late, sent him to the free throw line for two free throws on a free throw box out. You know, just some things that need to be corrected. And a lot of it comes from if we communicate within our huddles at free throws, if we communicate when I'm talking in the huddle, if they listen. You know, I think there's a lot of things that we can correct as far as that goes that will shave 10 points off of the other team.
As far as Fort Hays State goes, you look, that Nicholson kid again, he's just a freshman, but he really doesn't play like a freshman at this point of the year. I thought he played a very heady game last night.
He did. He controlled tempo. He controlled the game. You could tell with their team, you know, exactly who was running the show, and he was, and did a great job. You know, with him, I think he's just got a great attitude, has good body language out there, really communicates well with his teammates, and he's going to be a force for the next few years in the MIAA.
Now, for Northwest, I thought one of the good things that came out of the game last night, the return of Dylan Starzl, he missed about 2.5 weeks with that knee injury, came out, was able to get 16 points, three blocked shots, and you got quite a few minutes out of him. Did you get more minutes than maybe you anticipated going into the game?
Yeah, it was more minutes than we were thinking, 10 to 12, and then, you know, we got into the game, and he was playing great. You know, still a step slow, obviously, with his knee, but played great inside. We got him some good looks. We tried to slow the tempo to make sure that he could get up and down the floor consistently. Today, I think he's pretty sore because he played 28 minutes. And what do you have, 16 points,
yeah,
three blocks? I mean, he was great. We're going to need him next game. You know, we're going to need him next game to play the same and if not better, and need other guys to step up.
And what does that mean to getting Dylan back, not only from just having a guy like that on the floor, but what he means to the team besides just maybe the X's and O's part of the game?
Well, you know, defensively, he's our best post defender. I guess that would be X's and O's. But he's a great communicator. He's probably our best, outside of Bryston, probably our best leader, to where people follow him. They listen to what he says. And he says in huddles, he speaks up and says quality things. And, you know, and then obviously he's good. You know, that always helps when he's a good basketball player to get him back. So it'll be good. You know, he's not going to be 100% for still probably a couple games, but he's pretty good at 75%, as we saw last game.
Now, up next is Washburn. It's a team that you saw this past Saturday. You've got them again this upcoming Saturday. Let's first of all go back to last Saturday and talk about that loss, 80-67, the final score. And what are some of the main things you're disappointed about with that game?
You know, it's the same thing against Hayes. I didn't think we came out with a lot of energy. I don't know what it is, if we just don't think when we come out, if we just kind of slowly try to, you know, engage ourselves into the games or what it may be, but we need to come out early because the way we play a slower style of basketball where we control tempo. You can't control tempo when you're down 20 in the first half. That makes it pretty difficult because you got to get up and down at that point. And we like to keep it in the half court, so You have to get stops. You have to play with a lot of energy and understand that every position matters.
And that was a game, too, where Washburn shot pretty well from the field.
You know, it's amazing how teams shoot so well when you don't guard them. It's really weird. I said that when we come down at halftime, and I think somebody said, hey, boy, they really shot it well that half. Yeah. Well, when you don't guard them, they generally shoot it pretty well. So that's kind of what happened in that first half of Washburn.
You know, there's one thing that I don't understand about going to Topeka and playing at Washburn, and it seems it's been that way for 15, 20 years, it seems like. Washburn always gets a shot at the buzzer at the end of the first half, and it's in the midcourt or wherever they are on the floor that they knock one down right at the end of the half, and it's uncanny how many times Northwest has gone over, and that's happened, and it happened again this past Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I think last year when we played there, we beat them there. We actually had that same situation, and we made a shot at the buzzer. I don't know. Washburn's a tough place to play because it's such a dead environment. They get crowds. They just don't cheer a whole lot. And so, you know, it's a dead environment, and you have to kind of supply your own energy and be ready to go. And we definitely weren't for that game. But
what are some of the things second time around that you got them on Saturday afternoon that you want to do maybe a little bit different than what you did on this past game?
It's so simple with our team. You have to play hard. You have to play hard. You have to give effort. You have to play with energy and emotion. That's what we are. That's who we are. And there's nothing X's and O's. There's no gimmicks that you can really put in to replace that. And so if we bring that, I've got confidence to think that we can go out and beat Washburn. If we don't, you know, it's going to be a tough game.
After that, on Saturday, you're back home on Wednesday. Next Wednesday, Missouri Western comes to town. It's been a while since you've seen Western back in the first part of January. A tough loss down in St. Joseph, 71-58. What are you looking for out of Missouri Western in the second game?
Well, they control tempo. They really slow the game down. I think their zone really controls it. So, we got to fight for loose balls. Again, got to give effort, do what we do, keep it simple, and everything should work out okay. I mean, that's just who we are. Just keep it simple. Do the basics and play with effort, and we should be okay in any game.
Missouri Western's one of those teams that record-wise probably is not what they would like to have with Coach Smith, but they're a team that can step up and knock off some of the top teams in the conference. They had a win over Washburn a week ago, and then Washburn last night won in overtime down there. So talent-wise, it looks to me like Missouri Western has about as much talent as anybody in the conference.
I do. I think they do. I think they're probably the second most talented behind Central. Extremely talented. Their post players are freakishly athletic. Their guards all can go off the bounce and shoot. And they're a super, super talented basketball team. So it's going to be a tough game, especially Mo West Northwest. They're going to gear up and try to get Coach Smith his final win versus Northwest. And we're going to gear up and try to protect their house.
One thing before we let you go here, just more about basketball in general, a question from the crowd. Just dealt with watching the games on television, whether it's an NBA Division I college or Division II, where an observation that the coaches seem to be really trying to work the officials an awful lot. And it seems like the question was that it looks like it's more now than maybe in the past. And the question really was, how much the difference does it make with the coaches and the officials during a game trying to maybe get some calls going your way?
Yeah, that's a tough question. My first season, I'll just kind of go what I do. My first season, I was all over the officials. It was every single call, then I actually talked to, I think it was the Big 12 officiating assigner during the summer at an AAU tournament. He was watching and evaluating, and he said, if you constantly are on them, they're never going to listen to a word that you say. Where if you just say things every once in a while, maybe they might listen and adjust their calls. So, and, it also helps me focus. So I try to focus primarily on the game. I think there are games, though, where if the other coach is constant on them, there's officials that it gets to, and they start changing their calls for that coach. And so in those games, you have to work them at that point. Yeah, you have to talk to them. You have to, I don't like it. I think officials should tell them, hey, be quiet. Here's why I called it. Here's why I made the call that I called. let's move on, you know, and you know, we'll call the game as we see it throughout. But yeah, so I'm not a big fan of working officials. I think it distracts coaches. I think it distracts officials, and I don't think it's good for the basketball game. Do I do it sometimes? Absolutely, you have to, or you're not going to get calls.
Yeah, at the Division I level, maybe the NBA, where there's a lot of TV, how much of it is even showmanship at that level?
You know, I don't think they do it as much at that level as people think. I think the cameras just catch them. The officiating at that level is pretty good. You know, if you think of your best coaches, you know, the Tom Izzo's, the Brad Stevens doesn't say a word to the officials. Tom Izzo really doesn't say much. You know, I think Mike Krzyzewski does quite a bit, and he gets quite a few calls. You know, it just depends coach to coach as to what they do. But for the most part, those big-time coaches won't say much. Bill Self, he doesn't say much. You know, they don't. I think at this level, it's pretty ridiculous how much they work the officials, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, at some point that needs to be curtailed, where you're not allowed to say that much. You can ask about calls, and you can argue a few calls, but once it starts to get where it distracts you from the basketball game, I'm not a big believer in it.
Well, a lot of basketball left to be played this season, and a lot of the games right up Bearcat Arena. Some important games coming up for your team.
Yeah, very important games. Washburn at home. Hey, what do we have? 3 out of 4 at home. We have to make the conference tournament still. I mean, those teams are right there for the conference tournament. And then if we're fortunate enough, we can get in that top four and host. But we're focused on Washburn. We're focused on bringing energy to start a game and just really going out and competing.
All right, well, Coach, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's Ben McCollum, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team. And again, Northwest home on Saturday afternoon with Washburn. And when we come back, we'll talk women's basketball with the head coach of the Northwest women, Mark Kellogg. And that's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at MaryvilleGlassandLock.com. Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at MaryvilleMO.org.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville, Carson Sports Grill, and joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, Mark Kellogg. And Mark, thanks a lot for being with us again this week.
Me again, John.
And Mark, let's first of all talk about last night, a close finish, a tough finish with the loss to Fort Hays State, losing 54-53. You had an opportunity to tie it up with about a second left in the game when Monique Stevens had three opportunities at the free throw line, hit the first two, but unfortunately missed that third. But still, you look at the game Monique had last night, a heck of a ball game, 12.7 rebounds and 4 assists. So overall, a good game for Monique despite missing that last free throw.
Yeah, tough. Obviously, a tough way to go. She was upset when we got in the locker room after the game, crying and had the tears. So I quickly tried to. I asked the team who all missed a free throw. You know, and five other ones raised their hand. Who had the turnover? About everybody raised their hand. Who missed a blockout? Everybody raised their hand. So, you know, the point was just, Monique, don't beat yourself up over this one. It never just comes down to one last free throw by any means. There's a lot of possessions throughout the basketball game that would have decided that game. And, you know, of course, you want the free throw back, and she wants it back, but you don't get redos in this business. You got to make it count when you get that opportunity, and, yeah, it just didn't fall down for us. But we didn't make enough plays. We defended, I thought, really well for most of the game, just never had any offensive rhythm at all.
Now, going into the game, a couple of things you were wanting to focus on, doing a good job on the boards and then cutting down on turnovers. And really, first part of the ball game, you were handling the boards pretty well, but as the game went along, Fort Hays State started to come up with a few more rebounds here.
Well, and they were just timely. You know, I think that was what was most disappointing. We didn't really get outworked worked on the boards too much. It just felt like the ones we did were huge possessions in the game, or they scored behind it. You know, where we got some offensive rebounds, and we were watching the film today, and we didn't score behind the offensive rebound. They got the offensive rebound or the second chance, and they scored behind it. And that's the difference. If you're going to give them up, you still got to limit the second chance opportunities. And they got us a little bit in that category. That probably ended up being the difference in the game, because neither team shot it very well. We turned it over about the same. Rebounds were close enough. It was just that second chance.
And I know that was a game going in. You really felt you had an opportunity to come up with a big win, just unfortunately coming up a bit short. But overall, what were some of the things that you felt came out of that game last night?
Well, we wanted to limit their inside play. They really got us good a week ago in Hayes. Their inside kids, all three of their post players, just took it to us. So we kind of challenged our kids to see if we couldn't stop that inside game a little bit. But at the same time, you want to limit the perimeter kids and not let them get going also when you put the whole focus on the inside kids. So we did. I mean, we did a good job. We held all their kids under their season averages. Even the post had 14 and 10, but she averages almost 16. So she has only scored 1 point in the second half. 40 did. We fouled out Edwards, although it was really late. She was in some foul trouble. So we did some good stuff. We just offensively weren't very good. We're just struggling to score. We scored 53, I think, three games in a row. We've been right on 53. And we're just not scoring enough points. It's hard to win a lot of games when you're only scoring 53 points. But, you know, we took a step. We had been getting about to the 9-minute mark in a lot of these games and then not being able to finish. So maybe we took a step in the right direction there, with at least we gave ourselves a chance to win or tie late in the game. But up three with about three to go, a little bit more than that, we need to find a way to win that game.
I thought one of the keys in the first half, when Maggie Martin picked up a couple of early fouls, Alexis Bay came in, played well, and played physical in there. Unfortunately, she picked up a few fouls, but I thought she gave you some good minutes, and where you were able to have Maggie sit down and then come back out and play the rest of the ball game. And I thought that was one of the keys there too.
Yeah, no, it was. Alexis, I mean, she's not shy. She's not going to shy away from anything. Alexis won't. But yeah, she got three fouls in the first half. Maggie had two. Alexis played 1 or 2 minutes in the second half and got four. But the first half, just some foul trouble. Timber had two, kind of just, you know, I mean, we're just not deep, so our rotations get messed up when just one or two kids get in foul trouble. So we're trying awfully hard to keep them out of foul trouble, but it, you know, we just got to, you know, rely on each other, try to keep people off the free throw line, keep them in front of us without fouling. But yeah, Lex and Maggie, I mean, you know, it's a good combo in there. Needed a little bit more from them probably offensively last night. Maggie just didn't get anything to go. She went 3 for 11 and didn't take a shot outside of probably 12 feet.
And as far as the schedule goes, it's a kind of a tough stretch with playing Washburn 2 out of 3 games. And in the middle of that, you throw in Fort Hays State a couple games, which is a very quality team and is going to continue to get better. Let's go back to the Washburn game last Saturday before we talk about the matchup this Saturday. But overall, with the Lordy Blues on the past Saturday, what are some of the keys to that matchup?
Well, their length bothered us was the key, I think, at their place. You know, I mean, we had moments, got out on them early and, you know, kind of settled in. And, you know, not that we ever made a serious run, but we kept it around 10, 12, somewhere in through there, where we could have, if we could have got a couple buckets to go and strung a couple good offensive possessions together, maybe we could have put a little pressure on them. We didn't do that. But we hung around at least, which should tell our kids that, hey, you can hang around enough on the road, maybe we can make some noise when they have to come up here on Saturday. But they're linked. They're just long. They can switch screens. They can switch ball screens, down screens. And it's not much of a mismatch at all, because they're all about 6 feet other than their point guard. So we'll have to work on that a little bit tomorrow in practice and see if we can't take advantage of some situations where they do switch with the right kid on the kid that we want them on, meaning one of our post players.
Any change at all in the game plan for Saturday from the first week?
Well, it'll be a little bit similar. They got real comfortable against our zone. And that really wasn't by design. We were supposed to be playing man in zone. We either just scored or we turned it over, because we shot, I think, 50% there, and we had 24 turnovers. So when we score, turn it over, we're in our kind of press into zone. It's when we miss shots that we're falling back into man. So I guess I'm just going to tell them to miss a few more shots so we can get back into our man, or just take care of the freaking basketball. That'd be nice too. But their length bothered us. That's why we turned it over 24 times. Maybe just having played against them once, that may allow us to be a little bit more comfortable offensively and not just throw it right into their hands so often. But it's going to be we'll have to battle to score. This is the best defensive team in our league. They're still not holding everybody under 50, even though we got to 53 the other night. I don't know what that says. So we're going to have to find ways to score and see if we can't limit them defensively. But they're just so good at every position. And they have a great guard, and they're just big with size. And then their wing length just bothers us. So we'll have to really be be on our game defensively to have a chance.
And obviously every game turnovers are important, but a game against a team like Washburn where every possession seems to matter, cutting down turnovers even more important against a team like Washburn?
Well, yeah, because they limit the possessions and the way they play. They're not really an up and down. They don't score a ton of points, although they can get out and go, but they just limit possessions. So when you're limiting possessions, you just don't have a ton of opportunities. And when you're giving it away, now you're just taking that much more against you. So if we turn it over 24, we just need to try to be forcing 24. So at least if that's the case, the possessions match up. And that's been our Achilles heel all year is turnovers and offensive rebounds, which is all extra possessions for the other team. And when you look like we're shooting it at 44% and 34, you know, shoot it pretty well from the free throw line, all of that stuff matches everybody in our league. It's just we're not a very good rebounding team and we turn the ball over too much, and that's what's probably causing some of the issues that we have. And we've got to be a little bit better defensively. I thought we cleaned it up some lately, the defensive end. So, you know, it's a margin for error, and ours is very, very thin.
Now, after the game Saturday afternoon with Washburn, you're back home Wednesday, just like the men, as you face Missouri Western. The first meeting, 68-62, a loss there, and there's this little bit of a stretch in the second half that really kind of hurt you in the first meeting.
Yeah, I remember that. It was 6 or 7 minutes. I want to say we didn't score, or maybe we just didn't make a field goal. Got down, I think, 9 there late within a couple minutes, and then made a great rally to give us 2 chances to tie or take the lead, and just, I think we turned it over once and then missed the little short jumper from Monique. So, you know, we should be excited. They're going to rest up. They don't play now until next Wednesday, so they got a week to prepare for us. But we'll be pretty excited. It's our pink night, pink zone night. So for us, we wear the pink uniforms and obviously have a great cause with the cancer awareness and those kind of things for that. So it'll be exciting. Our kids will be jacked for that one, you know, just because of that, but just because it's the rival in Mo West also. We'll look forward to that one after we hopefully take care of business against Washburn.
Now, when you talk about the rivalry with Missouri Western, again, your first year at Northwest, some of the players are still relatively young, and after that first meeting earlier this year, do you have a little bit more sense of what the rivalry is all about with the Griffins?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I think anywhere you've been, even though I haven't been here, there's always the rival games, and you kind of know what they're about, even if your high school always has a rival, so you kind of understand what it was. So, yeah, I mean, what I loved about the experience is I thought there was about as much green in that place as there was black and gold that night. You know, we had a lot of Northwest fans there, and that was pretty neat to see that many fans would come out and support. So I would hope that it's just like that when, not necessarily from their standpoint, but that we get a lot of green in our gym next Wednesday night, you know, to support it, because that is a fun rivalry, and those are the best games to play each year.
Yeah, when you get a crowd like that, it's a lot of fun playing, isn't it?
Well, it is. It just makes the environment for those kids, and, you know, even the fans, I think they feed off of it a little bit. When you put a few more bodies in there, they get into the game and the matchups a little bit more than you normally do. So, yeah, I mean, we'll look forward to that game. And see if we can't take care of business.
And again, like the men, some very important games coming up here in the next 2 to 3 weeks as you wrap up the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're looking for any type of momentum we can get right now moving forward. Any win at this point kind of gives us just a little bit more and a little bit more. But for us, it's hopefully making the conference tournament, getting a seed. We're still just, I think, a game behind Missouri Western for a home game. So that's still attainable, and obviously we play them. But we're going to have to beat some other people, obviously, other than them, to get in that spot, because there's people right behind us chasing us. So, yeah, for us, it's to make sure we get in the tournament and then see if we can't get the best seed possible going in. If we could get a home game, that'd be tremendous.
All right, well, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us.
Okay, thanks, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, Mark Kellogg, with us on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for another edition of the show. That's coming up right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's Bearcat Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice at 119 East 4th in Maryville. More information available at 660-582-7196.
This broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you by the Northwest Medical Center of Albany, Missouri. The Northwest Medical Center offers ambulatory and general surgery, cardiac rehabilitation, dietary counseling, and occupational therapy at 705 North College in Albany, Missouri. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from A&G Restaurant in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering located at 208 North Main in Maryville. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by MTE Office Center, with locations in Maryville and Cameron, providing computers, printing, networking, furniture, and office supplies since 1935. MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron. And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap things up for another Thursday here. Thanks to everyone involved with their broadcast again tonight. Northwest Women's and Men's Head Tennis Coach Mark Rosewell, a couple of players off of the women's team, Alexis Bartok and Stephanie Maddox, and also, as always, every week, Mark Kellogg with the Northwest Women's team and Ben McCullum with the Northwest Men's team. And again, coming up this weekend, more basketball action on the Bearcat Radio Network and KXCV KRNW. Northwest faces Washburn Saturday afternoon. The women's game will tip off at 1:30. The men at 3:30. We'll have the broadcast of both of those games beginning at 1:10 with our pregame show from Bearcat Arena. Again, special activities for Northwest alumni coming up Saturday afternoon as well. So stay tuned to KXCV KRNW for the broadcast if you can't make it over to Bearcat Arena for that matchup. Also, my thanks to Rodney Harris for tonight's show as well. I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back with you again next Thursday night for another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from downtown Maryville and Carson Sports Grill.